I'm Bert Cohen. Welcome to Portside. What are we in the USA? We have a culture here. There have been culture wars going on for years and years and years. Well, back into the 50s when there was something called the Hollywood 10, when movie producers, actors, screenwriters were all persecuted, quite frankly, for their exercising their freedom of speech, for being artists. Hollywood has power. We see Hollywood movies all the time with great regularity, and pretty soon there's coming up the Oscars, the Academy Awards, which everybody knows about, but there's also something called the Progies. The power of Hollywood to influence our culture is very significant, and the Progies, the Progressive Awards, are here to celebrate progressive artists and films made in 2009. This is becoming an annual show here. And our first guest, we've broken it up into two parts today. Our first guest is Gerald Peery. Thanks for being with us, Gerald.
Thank you. I'm glad to be there.
And here, there, everywhere.
Yeah.
A film critic for the Boston Phoenix and a professor of film studies at Suffolk University. Well, what are the Progies? How did they come into being, and what is the importance of them? What's the goal of having these progressive awards?
I guess that's a whole bunch of questions thrown together, but I think a bunch of historians, film critics, academics, people, various people involved in thinking about movies realize that the regular Academy Awards are, you know, as we know, part of the industry, and they're there to celebrate just whatever exciting movie is out there, but without really thinking about the ideology, what the movies necessarily stand for. And so this group decided that it was time to look at film in a little different way and try to reward movies which have, in some sense, I guess, you know, good political values and stand for, as we say, for human rights, worker struggles, women's rights, environmental issues, ethnic rights, free speech, gay rights, civil liberties, and on and on and on. I'm actually reading from a statement that was put out by this little circle of people. I guess it's an alternative Academy Awards. It's a People's Academy Awards, maybe with the death a couple of weeks ago of Howard Zinn. I don't know if I can just dedicate their awards to Howard Zinn and his idea of a people's history, an alternative history, and I think that's the same thing, an alternative look at what are good movies, what movies people should see.
And why do you think in the 1950s, when they had the Hollywood 10 and all that persecution, why was that so important that politicians even bothered to think about censor the movies that people could see? Doesn't that talk about the power of movies over our culture?
Well, it was obviously a paranoid reaction from Washington. So, part of the very, very zealous attempt to get, quote, communists, out of the world, that was part of the Cold War. But it was also an attempt to purge unions. It's very complicated. You can't really explain it in 2 seconds on the radio. But I guess that does attest to the power of movies to actually move people and move people's thoughts. And that's why those you know, awful people in Washington and Hollywood decided to jump on progressive filmmakers and directors and even jail some of them, because movies do matter, and what movies say does matter.
And you did bring up, I think, a very important point that with the death of Howard Zinn, it's good to keep that in mind, because Howard Zinn said something about it's not just about understanding history, it's about making the future. It's about getting the knowledge and making the future.
Right.
And I suppose we should think about him as we discuss these progies, the Progressive Movie Awards.
Right.
How do these nominations get made? And perhaps you could talk about what the James Agee Cinema Circle is.
Well, it's so amorphous, it's really hard to talk about. You might ask Ed, our second guest, who probably is a much more of an organizer of the group than I am.
That'll be Ed Rampell.
But it just seems, I think I'm just sort of honored to be one of the people that's been asked to join. But the joining doesn't really mean anything. It's just a bunch of people out there. We don't have meetings, formal meetings. It's really a sort of, via email. So the democratic way this works was that the various people in the organization were just asked to nominate films in various categories that they thought, and actors in various categories that they admired for their performances. And I think if a movie or an actor, et cetera, got even two people voting for it, or the movie, the person, then it moved into contention as one, as it became an official progy nomination. And our next step, which we haven't done yet, is to look at all the nominations and then vote for our best picture, our best actor, our best supporting actor, but other kinds of strange categories which Academy Awards would never deal with.
Right.
Like Our Daily Bread Award, the Progy Award for the most positive and inspiring working class screen image. Now, that's not going to be at the Academy Awards, but it'll be a Progy Award.
Uh-huh. And when does this the decision get made? And I should let listeners know, we'll be talking with Ed Rampell at the second half of the show about what the specific awards are, what the specific categories are, and which films are up for that. We got to keep in some suspense after all,
right.
like the Academy Awards. So the Oscars are there within the industry to boost itself, basically. It's all about the industry. But the progies celebrate artistry and the message. And I wonder about, I think the public likes kind of a mix. You want a message, but you also want some artistry in there.
Absolutely.
And I believe I'm correct here that Invictus was nominated, the film about Nelson Mandela, but not, was Hurt Locker nominated as well, or is that perhaps?
No, Hurt Locker is a movie that's left out of our, at least for now, for our nominations. I mean, I think what's interesting is that, and important is that, although it's a progressive group, left of center group, everybody is going to have completely different ideologies and different ideas of what fits. It's a rambunctious group, as it should be, with all sorts of ideas. And so some of the nominations drive me crazy because I don't see why they're progressive, but somebody else did. And some of the things left out drive me crazy because they're not there, but somebody else didn't think they were progressive. So I guess that's what you have to live with, the same way the Academy Awards are done.
Well,
you mentioned The Hurt Locker. I think that's a good place to start. The Hurt Locker won virtually every critics organization award. Besides this, I'm a member of the Boston Society of Film Critics and the National Society of Film Critics, both of which shows The Hurt Locker its best picture. And I feel it's the best picture. And when you look at the here we look at the progies, and it's not listed among the five choices. And so I guess I'm going to be writing it in. And my thought about it, just if we go to that, is that The Hurt Locker is not overtly an anti-war film, and I think that's what probably lots of people in this organization are looking for. I can say my argument to that is that's exactly why I like it. I'm anti-war. It's really easy to be anti-war, but this movie, The Hurt Locker, really gives you the feeling of what war is like, and also it shows why war is attractive to certain people, and we need to know that. It shows what the kind of masculinity that goes into a war, the celebration of a certain kind of macho-ness.
Yes.
And it doesn't lecture you. It doesn't tell you what to think. And you actually have to unravel the movie. And this is where I think I'm a certain kind of leftist. I'm a Brechtian who believes Brecht's idea. This is kind of my key ideology, that you should watch a work of art the way you're in a courtroom. If you're a juror, and as a juror unravels evidence, the juror becomes smarter and politically smarter. So those are the kind of movies I like even better, which have an ambiguity about them, and you've got to figure them out. So I really like The Hurt Locker. That's my favorite picture, but it's not listed among the Trumbo votes.
The Trumbo being the best picture,
right.
Named after Dalton Trumbo, who was certainly part of the Hollywood 10, I believe.
And he was. Yeah.
It's always been a discussion about art and politics. If something is too overtly political and its approach is like to hit you with a 2x4 again and again, it may have a good political message, but it kind of detracts from the art. And, you know, there has to be some, I would think, some subtlety for it to be art. You know, it's not a lecture, it's a piece of art. And if I may, I'd like to play just about a 40-second sound card from a movie I just saw called Sunshine Cleaning, which did not come across as an overtly political movie. But if you listen to this clip here, it's you can get some of the politics from it because it's just showing a slice of life. So this is from Sunshine Cleaning.
You really think you can make a ton of cash cleaning up after dead people?
I know I can. It's very lucrative.
Come on, girls. Let's have a nice, pleasant
You buy
dinner.
Generic cigarettes with couch change. How are you going to afford private school?
It's only until I get my real estate license, and I quit smoking, by the way.
Who's going to private school?
Nobody did.
Did Oscar get kicked out again?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, for God's sake, what is wrong with those people? He's an imaginative kid. Don't they have any sense at all?
I want to have my birthday at Henkel's.
Not Henkel's this year. This year, I'm taking you to Disneyland.
Dad.
Really?
I'm taking him to Disneyland.
Dad, don't.
I'm taking him to Disneyland. Who wants to split a combination plate?
Who wants to split a combination plate? Well, that's from Hurt Locker, not from Hurt Locker. That's from Sunshine Cleaning about... Oh, a couple of young women who are kind of down on their luck, and they go into a business of cleaning up scenes after terrible murders and things like that have happened. It's interesting slice of life, and yet it's doesn't hit you over the head. It doesn't say, you know, capitalism is bad or anything like that. It just talks about what's going on. So why is something as subtle as that included in the Progies?
Well, one of the things about the Progies, I think, is that the different people are discovering their own little movies, and I think you've just discovered one because, as I said, it's not nominated. And you know what? I haven't even seen it, so I might see it now. If you were a member of the group, you could write that movie in, but I think that's a good thing when we look at our list that there are films which pass by a lot of people. For instance, in among our five choices for best films, and here's one I haven't seen yet, so I'm going to go see it, is a film called American Violet about an African-American teacher in Texas. And, you know, nobody saw it, did no business, but the fact that it's nominated here, I think, is the kind of thing that makes people, I hope, encourages people to go see progressive films that they hadn't thought about. And that's you know, beyond just voting for the best, that's a really good thing that the Progies do, I think.
And which movie was that you just mentioned?
It's a film called American Violet.
American Violet.
It's one of the five choices for best film, which, along with, let me actually tell you some of the other choices.
Cause oh, sure.
Like The Messenger. Now, that is an interesting. The Messenger is one more Iraq film, and it's a very, very good film about the people at home, the military back in the U.S. who have to deal with the bodies coming back from Iraq. And, it's a really good film with terrific acting performances, which are listed here. both by Ben Foster and Woody Harrelson. And I think when the movie came out, people thought, boy, these guys are certainly going to be nominated for Academy Awards because they're so good. But you know what? Nobody saw The Messenger. I think its total business in America is less than $1 million. Another one of those down Iraq films that Americans don't want to see.
Right.
And these performances were just forgotten about. So, again, the Progies are really cool because we are The Messenger. We're listing as one of the five best pictures. And among the five best actors, there are both Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster for The Messenger. So that's a movie I would certainly tell people who are listening to the radio to try to go see, because that is a film when people see it, they really like it. And But
I'm always
Iraq,
looking
for Iraq, the I word. You don't want to see movies about that.
Well, it wasn't until many years after Vietnam that Vietnam movies started to make it, because people, as you say, don't always want to look at the truth. Wasn't there a film, it seems to me, where somebody said to somebody, you can't handle the truth? And that's maybe what is going on here. I'll have to see The Messenger. Interesting. I hadn't seen it. Good movie.
Now, this is really interesting. Among our nominations for Best Picture, and actually has a bunch of awards ready, is a film, I don't know if you've heard of this, it's called Avatar. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, yeah.
Ask somebody if you haven't. Don't be embarrassed. But anyway, Avatar is very, very interesting because here is a movie that I actually asked my college students about this at Suffolk University. Said, do any of you guys think about what the movie meant, or you just had a good time watching it? Did anybody notice? Have you had a discussion about the fact that the people that are being shot up are American soldiers or Americans in this, you know, what is clearly Iraq or Afghan? The enemies is the American military.
And this is
very overt way. And it's not as sometimes movies have kind of a couple of crazy guys and they're kind of scapegoated. But this movie, you're rooting for the alien creatures to shoot down a regular American guys, just guys and girls, just who are not bad people. They're just there, and you're on the other side. You're on the blue side.
Wow.
But on the other hand, Avatar is made by the capitalist of capitalists, that totally obnoxious James Cameron, you know, a fatuous, crazy man, the head as big as Kansas, as Texas. And so is this really a leftist movie, or is it a fake leftist movie? I don't know. But anyway, that's something you can decide when you vote.
Well, interesting. It's like with so many pieces of art in music and in film, every now and then something is a hit, and it happens to be good, even if it is commercially successful.
Yeah.
So the lines cross there. We're talking with Gerald Peary, film critic for the Boston Phoenix and professor of film studies at Suffolk University, about The Progies. And I want to play one more clip, thinking of war films. This is a movie I have yet to see myself. I'm not sure if it made it on The Progies, but it's talking about what war is and really bringing it home. And this is Men Who Stare at Goats. I'm not sure if that's listed on The Progies, is it?
Oh, it is, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it is, but go ahead and play.
All right.
Okay.
Choke me.
I don't want one.
Choke me. What am I going to do?
I don't know. There's too many sharp edges.
It's okay. You can attack me.
What's with the quotation fingers? It's like saying I'm only capable of ironic attacking or something.
Choke me.
Well, if I choose to choke you, what are you going to do?
I'm going to interrupt your thought pattern. See, I barely moved. Physics-wise, not much going on here. It's the psychic energy that's important. You okay?
Oh, sharp edges.
Yeah. You felt fear, though, in the beginning?
Yes.
Would you say that level of fear was abnormal?
I don't know. I was pretty terrified anyway, but the fear I felt on the run-up to the choking was, you know, unusual.
You know why? Because it wasn't you. It was me. I was inside your head, fighting with the mind.
Whoa, I haven't seen that one, but it sounds very interesting. And you can, I guess, kind of feel the fear, and it does bring it on home.
Well, yes and no until you see the movie. It's actually a film which has potentially to be a kind of subversive Dr. Strangelove, but it's really pretty silly and pretty banal and whatever. But let me say that it's that film, The Man Who Stared at Goats, is in a category which is the one that I think I have been behind more than anything else, the Progies. And you'll understand, I think, with my sensibility. It's called The Bunuel.
Ah.
An award, one award named after the Spanish surrealist Luis Buñuel,
yes,
who made leftist films which are completely weird and anarchist rather than, you know, communist, and which are, you know, slyly humorous and use strange form and are not politically correct in any kind of way, in any kind of important way. So I've put in this category because I was worried that the Progies were just going to be too politically correct,
uh-huh,
solemn, too serious, too obvious. And a lot of the movies I like the best are ones that are, as I said, have a much more of an anarchist spirit and a little bit crazier. So in this category, now here's an example. This is where, like a film like A Serious Man, the,
uh-huh,
the Coen Brothers movie, which deals with metaphysical questions and is a really odd movie, but is not about politics in a normal kind of way, and yet is about the bourgeois neighborhoods and sort of a attack on America in a very skewed, angular kind of way, is in there. But here's a movie called Drag Me to Hell. Drag Me to Hell is a Sam Raimi horror movie about a loan officer, a woman loan officer who, trying to get ahead in her bank, refuses a loan to an immigrant woman in Toronto, and as a result, horror comes to her and gypsies, and she ends up really being roasted in hell for her sins. So it's a completely crazy movie, and yet it has politics, and yet it has leftist politics, has progressive politics, but it's so far off of what people would normally think of as a good safe leftist movie, like Invictus, which is, you just mentioned before, which is,
yeah,
a very good movie with good politics. And Clint Eastwood is so interesting because he's gone from being an ultra-rightist to I don't know if he's a Democrat now, but he might be the last moderate Republican in America who's, you know, sort of making amends for his early racism, for trying out things. And yet, after you've seen Invictus, you just know every second of the movie ahead of time. It's just such a good, well-intentioned, safe, good movie, and I liked it, but I also yawned a bit at times in the film. Then there's Drag Me to Hell, completely insane in another way, and that's, so I'm glad, you know, people can choose among those kind of films, because, again, what a progressive film is really, really subjective, and I'm glad it's subjective.
I think all art, by its nature, has to be subjective. I don't like as much films or art at all that just, you know, whacks you over the head, that it's so predictable, so formulaic, you know exactly what's going to happen. That makes it less art, as far as I'm concerned. It may be good politics, but movies are art. It's about art. What about this film, Precious? I've heard criticism about this film. I haven't seen it yet, but that perhaps it is sort of insulting to working class. That's on there somewhere, isn't it, Precious?
Yeah. Well, I think those arguments, again, are completely stupid. I think it's a terrific film. And unless the idea that you must have, you know, always, quote, positive images of everybody, that's the only way to show things.
So
a black person can only be, you know, a lovable, completely... almost a living
angelic
eunuch. That's not true. And Precious really is a just heartbreaking film, which rubs your nose in really terrible stuff, but is actually, you know, uplifting at the end, but in a way that comes from the characters and not imposed on the movie. Because a lot of lefty films have uplifting things, just as they're not very different from Hollywood. They just contrive.
Well, yeah.
You know, suddenly seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, but that's a very good film.
I'd love to see it. One more film that, you know, you talk about lack of subtlety. Michael Moore is not exactly known for his subtlety. I think you could agree on that. He had yet another hit. I haven't seen this film, but we have a clip from Capitalism, A Love Story.
See that guy standing next to the president? You know, the one that looks like a butler? His name was Don Regan, the chairman of Merrill Lynch, the richest and biggest retail brokerage firm in the world. He took the key position of Treasury Secretary so he could enact the tax cuts that the rich wanted. Regan then became White House Chief of Staff as the president started to fade.
Then they should give the president what 43 governors have, a line item veto. And
Who tells the president to speed it up? The band from Merrill Lynch, that's who. Things in America would never be the same again. The country would now be run like a corporation.
We're going to turn the bull loose.
Well, that's Capitalism, Michael Moore, who is certainly not known for his subtlety at all. How was that as art? I haven't seen it yet because...
You know what? I haven't seen it either, and it's been, and I can say it's sort of intentional here. I'm tired of Michael Moore. He is the James Cameron of the documentary. Again, you know, the world's biggest ego, and the manipulative way that he makes documentaries is, you know, is condescending to the audience, and it's always about him. And I really have trouble with his movies and with Michael Moore personally. So it, I have the DVD. It's sitting around. I just have never gotten to it. But this is a good case because when you talk to Ed coming up, I think that might be his favorite film of the year. So this shows you how people of the left can have, you know, get along fine and have completely different opinions. So I would have him talk to him about how wonderful it is. But you know, keep Michael Moore out of my house. That's the way I feel. And I say this, you know, as a left, as a person of the left. Those are not my kind of films.
Yeah, with all due respect, don't come to my house. Same kind of thing. Just one question about the Academy Awards. What's up with them increasing the category for Best Picture from the normal 5 or 6 to 10? Is there something political about that, or why are they doing that?
Well, political, I guess, in some sense.
Right.
It's more, they want to have more people watch the Academy Awards because the awards the last couple of years have gone to kind of obscure movies which have not had big box office. A film like Milk. Most Americans, why would Milk win in the Academy Awards? Well, we know I won it. That's a wonderful film.
Yeah.
The Country of Old Men last year, the same thing, the Coen Brothers movie. That really threw off everything. So the 10 is a chance to bring in some more popular movies. And maybe a good place to end was The Blind Side, which is among the 10. And it's purely because The Blind Side has been so popular, made $200 million. And if you want to talk about, it's a movie that's being embraced more and more by the Christian right. And there's a great article that was in the Boston Phoenix about how Sandra Bullock is like the Sarah Palin character in the movie. It woke me up thinking about it. And I mentioned a eunuch for a black person. Well, that's certainly this black person who's adopted in this movie, who has no sexuality at all, who becomes like a plaything for this white family. So it's a white fantasy, and you know what? It's one of the 10 nominations for Best Picture for Academies. I'm glad that the Progies have it's not listed among the Progies.
And which film was that?
The Blind Side.
I'll try to stay away from it. Interesting.
Yeah, stay away from it. you're the only one because it's a lot of the readers will have. A lot of people. I saw it with all my in-laws, and everybody loved it, which made me nervous. Why did everybody love it?
The intersection of art and politics, always difficult. Gerald Peary, film critic for the Boston Phoenix, professor of film studies at Suffolk University. Thank you so much for being with us today. And, when are the Progie winners announced, actually?
I think about the same time as the Academy Award winners. Uh-huh. But again, Ed is behind all this thing. Ask Ed. It's a good program. Ask Ed.
Oh, we will do that.
The next half hour.
I will do that. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Bert Cohen here, and we'll get right to our next guest in just a minute after we hear a little bit of music about the movies.
Y'all set? Let's do it.
If you're gonna be lonely, be lonely tonight. I'll be right over. I'm gonna take you to the movies. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello?
Hold on now, it's a shady day. You've been cheating on me, friend, say. Let little London laugh at me.
Ed, are you there?
I'm right here.
Oh, excellent, excellent. We just heard Take You to the Movies from Nils Lofgren. A little bit of a segue there. We were talking with film critic Gerald Peary before this. And Ed Rampell is, what is your connection with the Progies? I know we've done this before. Frankly, I don't remember.
Well, first of all, good afternoon, everybody, and a special shout-out to Bethlehem, New Hampshire, where I have my very, very first memories of when my family used to summer there around 1960. My very first memories are of New Hampshire and the old man in the mountain.
He's gone now.
Yes, I heard. And the I'm the author of a book called Progressive Hollywood, A People's Film History of the United States. And I did interview Howard Zinn for that book. And, of course, the title of the book is derived from Mr. Zinn's famous history book. And when I did this book, I realized that we were in the third phase of widespread progressive movies in America since 9/11. We were in the third phase, and then I began to see that the audiences started receding for films such as like In the Valley of Elah. An anti-war, anti-Iraq invasion film with Tommy Lee Jones and Susan Sarandon. And people stopped going to see films like that. And I began to get alarmed that maybe the third phase of progressive movies might come to an end, because if there's no progressive audience to support them, the studios and independents, et cetera, who finance progressive films are less likely to invest in what they may perceive as a doomed project in terms of money making. So at the end of 2007, the Progressive magazine published online my list of the Progies, which was awards for the best progressive films, filmmakers, and artists in a variety of categories. And I named the categories after great films or great filmmakers. And as you previously discussed, the best progressive picture is called The Trumbo, named for Dalton Trumbo, who wrote Spartacus and Exodus, 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, etc. And he was indeed one of the Hollywood 10. And by the way, his son has participated with R. James A.G. Cinema Circle.
Uh-huh.
Now, the first Progie winner, by the way, was completely overlooked by the Motion Picture Academy
It was Denzel Washington's movie called The Great Debaters.
Oh, that was wonderful.
It was a wonderful film, and in it, if you remember, Denzel plays a real-life character who was an academic at a historically black college who organized a great debating team by day, but by night he was a working-class organizer who is imprisoned at one point and accused of being a member of the Communist Party. Now, this film, as I said, completely overlooked by the Academy, won the first Progie for Best Picture. And then other film critics actually read what was on the Progressive, in particular Bill Meyer, who is a really good reviewer for the People's World. And he suggested to me that we should expand this. So we started reaching out to other progressive, left-leaning film reviewers, film critics, movie historians, cinema scholars, to create an international organization that became named after The Nation magazine's former movie reviewer and a Pulitzer Prize winner for fiction named James Agee.
Ah.
So last year was the first time as a group we voted. And Milk was a huge winner, and Sean Penn as Harvey Milk were
sure.
big winners last year. And that's kind of the origins of the Progies, the origins of the James Agee Cinema Circle, which is intended to be a very democratic organization of people of all stripes of the left.
Uh-huh. And that is a lot of different stripes that are on the left, certainly.
Well, yeah, you know, Tom Hayden once came out with a report, and he said something like, there are over 80 different variants of socialists.
Well, never mind the anarchists, too, and there's probably variations of that, too. Well, as my old friend Abby Hoffman used to say, the relationship between the right and the left is perfect. The right is sadistic, the left is masochistic. Perfect. We get along great. Well, let's get right to the awards. I don't have a drum roll here, but pretend you're hearing a drum roll. What is the Lawson Award? Who is that named for, and what are some of the films up in that one?
Well, you know, that's a really great question. Who was John Howard Lawson? He is largely forgotten, but he was one of the important screenwriters. And before that, important Broadway playwrights in the 20s, the 30s, and into the 40s. And Lawson was the very first president of what is now called the Writers Guild of America.
Oh, yeah.
And he also became one of the leading members of the Hollywood branch, if not the leading member of the Hollywood section of the Communist Party USA. And he was indeed one of the Hollywood Ten. I believe he was the first to call to testify in 1947. And, you know, the whole Hollywood Ten case did drag on into the 1950s before they finally went to prison. And Lawson gave a very combative testimony to the House Un-American Activities Committee, and he wouldn't eat you-know-what when they tried to feed it to him with a shovel. And to this day, there's kind of a debate where people feel like Humphrey Bogart did after witnessing in person the dispute at Congress. Humphrey Bogart and a number of prominent Hollywood stars and filmmakers had gone out to observe the hearings and support what became the Hollywood Ten. But after they saw the combative exchange between Lawson and J. Parnell Thomas, who, by the way, subsequently went to prison for corruption.
Yes, indeed.
And you know that Dick Nixon was part of this committee and so on. But in any case, I happen to think that Lawson was a very brave guy, and he was one of the first prominent anti-fascists in Hollywood, and he made no less than four or five anti-fascist movies, as far back as 1938. So he was what was called a premature anti-fascist.
Right, right.
And he made a film starring Henry Fonda called Blockade. And it was the first Hollywood feature film about the Spanish Civil War.
Yes.
And Blockade is like a really great movie. And then he's considered by many on the right and also on the left to be a communist stooge, a communist party hack, a tool of Moscow, etc. But people who say that forget that in around 1940, he did a film called Four Sons, which was an anti-fascist movie, and it came out during the Moscow-Stalin Pact. So he kind of violated the party line there, and everybody forgets that. And his most popular movie starred Humphrey Bogart, and they were World War II morale boosters called Action in the North Atlantic, where Bogey plays a merchant marine who goes with a convoy to, I think it's Murmansk in the Soviet Union, to help our Soviet allies defeat the Nazis. And then he also directed Sahara with Bogey. And it takes place, obviously, in North Africa. And I believe it's Rex Ingram plays one of the most dignified black characters to grace the silver screen before the civil rights and black power pictures. So John Howard Lawson, a great anti-fascist. And the Lawson Award goes to the best anti-fascist film. And the nominees this year are The Bader-Meinhof Complex, which is about the ultra-left terrorists fighting the West German state in the, I guess it was the 60s and 1970s. Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious, can I say the next word?
Yes, you can. It's on the film, sure. Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards.
Right.
White Ribbon, which is actually a foreign film. And then Avatar.
Yeah, Avatar's made it in a few different categories. I noticed on the Thomas Gutierrez Alia Award as well. Interesting to have a hit movie, a really big, huge seller. As I was saying before with Gerald Peary, you know, just because something's popular and a big seller doesn't make it a bad film. I got to see this movie, I have to say. Got to join
the crowd. Well, you know, that's one of the great things about the James Agee Cinema Circle. I personally have a distaste for James Cameron. I really hated Titanic, although I must say it did show the class struggle element between rich people.
That's true.
When the boat is sinking, yeah, make sure that they get the lifeboats first and lock up the other passengers, etc. But because the group was pointing out this film has revolutionary politics in it, I said, I've got to go see it.
Yeah.
And I did go see it, and I really highly recommend Avatar. It's a great film. I spent over 20 years in the Pacific Islands, and I was covering for various news outlets such as ABC's 2020 and Radio Australia and Radio New Zealand, etc., the nuclear-free and independent Pacific movement. And a lot of the pro-indigenous politics are actually in Avatar.
Wow.
And last week I was at the Ivy Restaurant in Santa Monica, and who walks in but Wes Studi. And Wes starred as Geronimo in the 1990s in a movie that co-starred Gene Hackman. And so I struck up a conversation with him, and then I asked him, well, what do you say about the contention that Avatar has pro-indigenous, anti-colonial politics in it? And he laughed, and he plays the chief of the indigenous people. The guy who played Geronimo in the 90s now plays the chief of the indigenous people. That's an obvious bit of casting right there. So Wes laughed, and he said, well, the real politics are the progressive sky people, meaning the outsiders from Earth to this made-up planet called Pandora, the progressive sky people, Wes said, join with the indigenous people to fight together against the oppressor. And he said, that's the real message.
Cool. I got to see it. Well, we have a lot of movies left to go over here. I guess there's The Daily Bread Award. That sounds interesting, too. And I've seen two of these. I saw Amrika and Sunshine Cleaning. Amrika was a very nice film about a Palestinian woman who comes to America with her son and what they have to go through. But tell us about the Daily Bread Award, what the category is.
Well, first of all, it's obviously a term lifted from the Bible, but it was also the title of a wonderful movie made it during the depths of the 1930s Depression. It was directed by a great filmmaker named King Vidor, and the man who produced it independently so that it could get made was none other than Charlie Chaplin himself. And our Daily Bread is about down-and-outers. They're mostly urban people, unemployed during the Depression, who get together and form a commune, and they collectively run a farm. And it's a beautiful film starring Karen Morley, who our Best Progressive Actress Award is named after Karen Morley. And so we call our Progy Award for the most positive and inspiring working class screen image the Our Daily Bread Award.
Uh-huh.
And the nominees, in addition to Amrika and Sunshine Cleaning, are Michael Moore's Capitalism, A Love Story.
Now, that one, I was talking, as you may have heard, with...
I sure did. That was a great interview, and I have to say, Gerald and you, tough act to follow.
Well, I haven't seen that film yet. You know, I like when I see a movie, I want more art than politics, but...
You know, Capitalism, A Love Story, I saw it at a private screening with Michael Moore in Westwood here in L.A.,
yeah,
where I live, and... it is a great artistic work of art. It is a very well-made film. It is very sensitive. It is really dead on. I urge everybody to watch it. It's really entertaining. And, you know, Michael Moore has a certain formula, and part of that formula is he digs up stuff. Remember in Fahrenheit 9/11,
yeah,
he showed some of the first images that we were being forbidden to see in the mainstream media. He showed some of the first images of the cost of the war on American troops being injured and wounded. And he ferrets out these facts in Capitalism, A Love Story, that I would never have dreamed of, such as something called dead peasants insurance. Now, I'm not going to tell you or the audience what dead peasants insurance is. Go see or go rent or you know, and I don't get a cent from any of the studios or from Michael Moore, so I'm not telling you this because I'm a stockholder.
Right.
But really, see it however you can, Capitalism, A Love Story. And it is a great work of art with really great politics, and it is it was completely snubbed by the Academy. Completely. It's not even nominated for Best Documentary. And yet, it's in a number of our categories, including Best Progressive Picture, the Trumbo Award, as well as the Best Documentary Award, and others. We allow documentaries to compete with features in the Best Progressive Picture category.
Uh-huh. Well, what is in the documentaries field? And it does seem the audience for documentaries is a lot bigger than it used to be. What else is in that field for documentary awards?
Well, first of all, I think that there's a total of 9 films that are nominated, and we have up to 5 nominees per category. However, in the categories where we have more than 5, there's a simple explanation. There were ties. And so I will tell you some of them.
Okay.
American Casino, Capitalism, A Love Story, The Cove. Now, have you heard about The Cove?
I have not.
I think it takes place in Japan, and it deals with the slaughter of dolphins, and there's a scene that's supposedly very, very graphic.
Oh, wow.
Now, the next film, Burma VJ, VJ for like instead of a DJ, a VJ, is a wonderful, wonderful documentary made undercover, underground, during the Buddhist monk uprising in Myanmar, also known as Burma, a few years ago. And this was also nominated for an Oscar for Best Documentary, by the way, Burma VJ. Then there's The End of Poverty? By Cinema Libre Studios here in L.A., which specializes in progressive films. And it's a look at, you know, if Naomi Klein wrote a book called Disaster Capitalism.
Oh, yes.
And Michael Moore's Capitalism looks at our domestic economic situation. The End of Poverty looks at this system of domestic capitalism exported to the third world. So you could call it kind of disaster imperialism.
Yeah.
So that's also a nominee, The End of Poverty? Food Inc. is nominated.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Sweet Crude. Now, Chris Rock, the comedian, did a documentary called Good Hair.
Huh.
And then Daniel Ellsberg, his documentary, The Most Dangerous Man in America, Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers, that is nominated also for the Best Documentary Progi. By the way, we call that award the Giga. It's named after Giga Vertov, who was a great Soviet documentarian. And by the way, the Daniel Ellsberg film is also nominated for the Oscar for Best Documentary.
Ah, interesting. Well, maybe it'll make it, because they do tend to be a little bit on the left there at the Academy, but I don't know.
Well, could I compare two of their nominations for Best Picture compared to two of ours?
Okay, sure.
You and Gerald were talking a lot about The Hurt Locker, and of course the Academy did nominate that as one of its 10 for Best Picture. But we chose, because we concentrate on the progressive side of films, we chose instead to nominate The Messenger with Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster instead. They play casualty notification officers who go to the homes on the home front and tell Americans that their loved ones have been lost in either Iraq or Afghanistan. And it really shows, as the old expression goes, it brings the war home, and it shows the cost of war. So we chose The Messenger as a group instead of The Hurt Locker for a nominee for the Best Progressive Picture because it's more political. Now, the Academy also nominated that Sandra Bullock movie that Gerald
right.
and you were talking about called The Blind Side.
Right.
And I actually haven't seen it yet, and I make it a policy not to review films I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
However, The Blind Side does seem like kind of a paternalistic type of film where the white big brother, or in this case the big sister, Sandra Bullock, adopts and takes care of our little brown brother, so to speak.
Oh, boy.
So we didn't choose that.
Yeah.
We chose another black-themed film, Invictus, about South Africa and the triumph over apartheid through sports, etc., as our Progi nominee for Best Picture. So that kind of shows the difference between the Oscars and what we call the People's Oscars,
right.
The Progies.
Now, we have just a little bit of time left, and that's the way it goes in the Academy Awards. They hold the best for last. Best Actor and Best Actress, what do you got for the Garfield and the Karen Morley?
Okay, the Garfield, named after John Garfield, a great actor who ran afoul of the Hollywood blacklist. Our nominees include two of the actors from The Messenger, Woody Harrelson and Ben Foster, who play casualty notification officers.
Right.
Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela in Invictus, which is a real stand-up and cheer movie. You just want to feel good? Go see Invictus. George Clooney, who's one of the top Hollywood liberals,
yes.
He's up for the award in Up in the Air, which, by the way, has a lot to say about unemployment in America. And, you know, the father of Jason Reitman was from Czechoslovakia. And if you look at the films made by the Eastern Europeans once they came to America, they still have some of the old socialist concerns for the working class and stuff. And I think it comes through in Up in the Air, which is has a lot to say about unemployment. And then finally, the fifth nominee for the Garfield Best Progressive Actor Award is Colin Firth in A Single Man. Now, for the Karen Morley Award, Best Progressive Actress, and that, again, is named after the actress who starred in Our Daily Bread, and she was also in the early crime drama Scarface.
Oh, yeah.
We have more than five nominees because, again, there was a tie. And they go to Melanie Laurent in Inglourious Basterds. Have you seen that yet, Bert?
I have not yet. I need to.
Well, she plays a Jewish woman who gets her revenge on the Nazis. That's all I have to say.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Jewish fantasy of how World War II should have been played out, kind of an alternative history.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very powerful anti-fascist movie.
Uh-huh.
Now, you were asking about Precious earlier,
yeah.
And sure enough, Gabori Sidibe is nominated for the starring role in Precious.
Uh-huh.
Now, there's another black-themed film that's nominated called Skin. It takes place in South Africa, based on a true story, just like Invictus is. And the nominee is Sophie Okonedo. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing her name. Now, Avatar, the lead actress, who, by the way, in real life is Hispanic, Zoe Saldana, is nominated for Avatar. A woman named Bihari is nominated for American Violet, a film that you and Gerald were talking about earlier.
Got to see it.
Renee Zellweger
is
nominated for My One and Only, and Carrie Mulligan is nominated for a film called An Education, which is kind of a comedy drama about a very young schoolgirl who is seduced by a 30-ish year old man and the choices she has to make.
Wow, sounds great. All right, the drum roll, the trumbo. What for the best picture, the best progressive picture of the year? We have...
Okay, they are, and again, completely snubbed by the Academy, but Michael Moore's brilliant must-see Capitalism, a Love Story.
Okay.
Avatar.
Sure.
Invictus, the South Africa sports drama.
Right.
The anti-war film, The Messenger. And completely out of left field, so to speak, American Violet, a small little indie competing with the $300 million Avatar.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. There's so many movies I gotta see and gotta help provide a market for this stuff. If people want to find out more about the Progies, there must be some place on the web they can check out.
Yeah, you can go to politicalfilmcritics.blogspot.com.
politicalfilmcritics.blogspot.com. Thank you so much, Ed Rampell. Look forward to finding out who wins. And when are these picked? They're around the same time as the Oscars, eh?
Yeah, the Oscars will be announced March 7th, and so we'll probably come out on or about March 1st. But certainly not during the Ides of March. We must beware the Ides of March.
Indeed we must. Thank you so much, Ed Rampell. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And this is Bert Cohen. Hope you're... paying attention to the movies. Thanks very much for listening.
Everybody's a dreamer, and everybody's a star, and everybody's in movies. It doesn't matter who you are. There are stars in every city, in every house and on every street. And if you walk down Hollywood Boulevard, their names are written in concrete. Don't step on Greta Garbo as you walk down the boulevard. She looks so weak and fragile, that's why she tried to be so hard. But they turned her into a princess, and they sat her on a throne. But she turned her back on stardom, because she wanted to be alone. You can't see a of the stars as you walk down Hollywood Boulevard. Some that you recognize, some that you've hardly even heard of. People who worked and suffered and struggled for fame. Some who succeeded and some who suffered in vain.